fall short in our attempts to glorify God. Sin and self-centeredness separate us from experiencing God's grace and His mercy and His love to its fullness. Difficult life circumstances can turn our attention away from what's really important in life, and that is living life God's way. Doubting in God's goodness for us can raise the questions in our minds, God, why is this happening to me? Church, do you ever feel defeated? Have you ever said, God, why is this happening to me? And I wrote this about 3 months ago, and I had two people in the same day ask me that question. One was an unbelieving customer who had 3 surgeries the prior year and was about to have his gallbladder removed. And he says, I don't know what I did to God, but I don't know why He's doing this to me. What did I do to deserve this? The second one was a believer and a guy I know well, Frank. He worked for us for many years. And he had a terrible fall. And when he said that to me, God, what did I do to deserve this? I was surprised. And a man who loves the Lord, who serves the Lord in his church, who has a feeding ministry to the homeless. But he was in terrible pain at the time. But if I'm really honest with myself, I've had those faults. You know, life is not easy. It seems to get more difficult as we grow older. Family problems, physical problems, the loss of a loved one. And the truth is, like I told the one fellow, the unbeliever, we live in a broken world where sin and self-centeredness rules, and it's a result. This brokenness is a result of our sin and self-centeredness. So how should we respond to difficult life circumstances? Well, there's really only 2 ways. There's our way. Self-help books can be helpful. If you're going to fix a window, they won't do anything to change who you are. You know, or we could try to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's the same thing. It's us doing the work. It never works out well. Or we could turn to God. Humble ourselves before Almighty God and ask Him for help. Self-help books don't have the power to change us on the inside where we really need to be changed. So what I want to talk to you about today is knowing God's love. Knowing and receiving God's love and experiencing God's love. It's not enough to know about God's love. Hell is full of people that know about God's love. But you go to heaven when you receive His love. And you experience His love through humble submission to who He is, to serve Him by serving other people. I titled this message, Intimacy with God is Everything. It's very, very important. And every one of us here need heart surgery. We all need to grow in our Christ-likeness. So what I'd like to do is open up to 1 John 4, chapter 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. And I'll read 7 to 12, and then we'll pray. 1 John 4. Verse 7. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen, no one has seen God in any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Let's pray. Father God, we do praise you. We thank you so much, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. And we humbly come before you now and pray for your help, Lord. Help teach us your word. Help us to hear what you have to say and receive it in our hearts where it changes who we are, that we would live lives that glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So look at 1 John 4, 7. Verse 7. And 7, 8 says, love comes from God. Verse 8 says, God is love. Now, that's who he is. That's his nature, his essence. He is the source of love. And we've I've talked before about love and the different kinds of love. Agape love is the ultimate love. It's God's kind of love. There's the filial love, the love between friends, and then there's the eros love, the passionate love between a husband and wife, and then there's sturgeon love. It's the kind of love that's between siblings, brothers and sisters, or aunts and uncles, strong feelings for family members. And then there's agape love. It's not like the eros love shared between a husband and wife, or the filial love between best friends, but it's a sacrificial love. Agape love is sacrificial. It's God's kind of love, the ultimate love. Let's look at verses 9 and 10 here. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's sacrificial love benefits those who receive it. And I mentioned that before about knowing about God's love. But we need to believe what he says and receive him. And it will change us forever. And this is the good news found in the Bible, that Jesus left the glories of heaven and came to earth and lived with us. He walked amongst us, and he lived perfectly. He never sinned. He loved God perfectly, and he loved other people perfectly. And then in verse 10, it says, this is love, that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And it's amazing to think about that. You know, that he became our propitiation. And Brother George talked about propitiation. It means satisfaction or settling. Everything that Jesus did pleased his Father. His substitutionary death on a cross satisfied God's wrath. Jesus died on a cross in my place and in your place, paying the penalty for our sins. What's the penalty of sin? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal separation from God. And Jesus on the cross took God's wrath that we rightfully deserve and took it upon himself. God's burning hatred towards sin was poured out on his Son so that we who believe and receive God's love may be free from that eternal separation from God. Free so that we might live through him, in verse 9 it says. So that we might live through him. So how do we live through him? How do we live through him? Through humble submission. We need to know about God's love. We need to receive God's love. And then we need to submit to God's love. So what I want to do is turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Ephesians 3, and we're going to come back to 1 John and finish up those last two verses, 11 and 12. But Ephesians 3, and I want to read verses 14 to 19. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in our church, just a couple of months ago, one of the elders preached about this passage, and he said, intimacy expands capacity. Intimacy with God expands our capacity to allow God to do his work in us and through us. Now, God created us to live his way. His way is not about religion. It's all about relationship. And he reveals his way through the Bible. Look at verse 14. Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What is Paul talking about when he says, I bow my knees? Do you think he's talking about our posture? Do you think that we pray, we should be on our knees when we pray? You sure, absolutely pray on your knees. You can pray in your seats. You can pray standing up. I pray walking early in the morning, and I enjoy that. But I think what Paul's really talking about is the posture of our souls, our attitudes. It's all about who we really are on the inside. But that's what God really cares about. Who we are on the inside, in our hearts and in our minds, our core, our character. If I hear someone say character doesn't matter, it gets me a little bit angry. You know, just so that person performs well at his job, that's all that matters. I think to myself, if it matters to God, it should matter to me. If God's for it, so am I. If God's against it, so am I. It's not about performance. It's about conformance. I don't even know if that's a word. But it's about conforming to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's look at verses 16 to 17 of Ephesians 3. 16 and 17, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The inner man. His Spirit in the inner man. This is where heart surgery takes place. Repentance starts in our minds and trickles down in our heart, and it leads to a changed life. So as we read and study and meditate on God's Word, spend time with him in prayer, we begin to think biblically. We begin to think differently. The light of his word gets deep down into our inner man and exposes the darkness of sin and self-centeredness that we all struggle with. Things that keep us from growing to live more Christ-like lives. It might be lust or envy or jealousy. Or bitterness. It might be greed of any kind of addiction, alcohol, drugs, pornography, food. Anything that grabs a hold of us. Anything that becomes an idol in our lives. The old me needs to grow to be more Christ-like. The truth truth is that we all need heart surgery. And thank God that only He could illuminate the dark areas of our lives so that we could own them, so that we could confess them, so that we could get rid of them. And it's really interesting how God works. He does not force His power on our will. We said it before. We have to make choices. We have to make godly choices. We have to think about what we're thinking about. Only through His power can we overcome sin and self-centeredness in our lives. So verses 17 to 19, and then we'll go back. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. It's just the beginning. God wants us to experience His love and be filled with His love. Why? Why is it important to God for us to be filled with the fullness of God? Because God's goal for our lives is that we grow and become more loving of the Father, more loving of other people, to be more Christ-like. So let's turn back to 1 John 4:11-12. And we'll finish it up. 1 John 4:11-12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. No one has ever seen God. I think it's interesting in verse 12. What do you think John's talking about when he writes that? No one has ever seen God. I think it's all about faith. You know, that the God of the universe, who created everything, who loves mankind and cares for all people, and chooses to make His love known to a dark and dying world through us. Through the church, through His church. There's no plan B. Our effectiveness to represent Him in this world is not based on how we perform, but how much we're conformed to the image of His Son when we believe and submit to Him. He'll do the work on the inside so that we will be more Christ-like on the outside. So that people could see God's love and experience for themselves God's love in a completely different way than the world knows anything about love. We develop an unshakable faith that can't be denied by anyone in this world. God's way to change the world is sacrificial. So when life gets difficult, we need to know that God is working on us. And He wants us to trust Him more and less in ourselves. Trust Him to do the work in our lives. Intimacy with God is everything. He knows what's best for us, and what's best for us is less of me and more of Him. Intimacy with God expands our capacity. Let Him do the work in our lives and through our lives so others will see His goodness and His greatness on display. So trials of our life are to strengthen our faith. When life gets tough, we can get self-focused, but God cares about who we are on the inside. So when we're grieving the loss of a loved one, what we need, less of me and more of Him. When we're facing deep financial problems, what we need is more of him and less of me. When we're struggling with bitterness or envy or jealousy or sin of any kind, what we need is more of him and less of me. When we allow God's love is made complete in us. Like it says in verse 12, when we allow God's love to fill us and flow through us, then it flows out to the people around us. Not only by what we say, but by how we serve. So when we receive God's love and submit to God's love, we're going to serve. How do you serve a God we cannot see? By serving other people and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Intimacy with God is everything. He will change your life. He's changed mine. I thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. That you do that work in us. You care so much about who we are on the inside. We need to make that really important in our lives by getting to know you better and loving you more. So we just pray, Lord, that you help us to spend more time with you and to share the good news with the people around us and our families and our neighborhood, at work, and whoever you put in our path, Lord. Help us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's in his precious name.